Hello, friends. Get out your fishing pole and put on your last mango performance wear. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Crossed the Gulf on a fast sloop, and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki, and now all the pirate books too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Welcome to Blame It on Buffett for this week's episode and interview. My guest this week is Captain Vinny La Sorsa, who is a captain for Jimmy Buffett on his boats. He is also one of the guys behind Last Mango Boatworks, which is a nonprofit that I'm super excited about. It's, you know, him and Jimmy are kind of behind it, and they sell a lot of awesome gear that you can buy, and then the proceeds go to charity. We'll talk all about it in the interview, so be sure and stick around for that. But before we get to that, I just want to do a couple little shout outs because a couple people have supported the podcast, which I really, really appreciate. It's something, like I said, I feel kind of weird asking people, but it's, you know, helps me to buy gear, equipment, things to run the podcast. I bought some stickers. So anyone who is a supporter, I will be sending you stickers. So just trying to add a little incentive. Also, I don't think I mentioned this on my episode last week. I know I did on the Facebook post, but a percentage of anything that you send to support the podcast will go to charity. So right now I'm trying to source, it'll probably be an ocean conservation related charity, because that's kind of like where my heart lies. So I'm trying to figure out which ones, or maybe it'll be a different one each month. We'll see. But I am going to be using a percentage of your podcast support to help support the things that this podcast supports, if that makes sense. So I really appreciate it. And I know I heard from some people that, you know, they can't necessarily do the monthly support button, which is on Anchor, so they asked if I had a PayPal or whatever, which I will put that in the show notes if anyone's interested in that. Once again, totally no obligation, but it's just, I guess I'm putting some work into this and to make it better for you guys, is going to cost money. So if you want to support, I really appreciate it. If you can't, that's totally understandable. The podcast will always be free to listen to. And I really hope you're enjoying it. And if you let me know you're enjoying it, like that's the most important support for me. So, but yeah, just know that if you do support the podcast, you will also be supporting, some awesome charities, which I will announce, for the next month when I do my first like donation or whatever. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Tim Meredith, who's one of my supporters. Thank you so much, Tim. It's really nice to, I don't know, it's just really nice to have people that like listen to this podcast and care enough about it to, want to help. And you'll be getting some stickers. And then the other person is Michael Fitzgerald. Michael, thank you also so much for supporting the podcast. I haven't messaged you about this yet, but you will be getting some stickers as well if you want to send me your address. So yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you. And I really appreciate everyone who listens. I really want this to be a podcast that helps people like as an escape, but also has episodes like this where maybe we can do some good together. Captain Vinny and Last Mango Boatworks and Jimmy are really doing some good with this brand. So hopefully by me helping spread the word about it, that will do some good. So please go check out lastmangoboatworks.com. Check out the interview. We'll talk all about it. Just the last thing before we get to the interview is I wanted to share my Jimmy Buffett song story for the for the episode. I'm just going to be sharing one story per episode as long as I am getting them from people. So this week's story comes from Justin Daniels. Justin, thank you so much for emailing me and sending me your story and letting me share it on the podcast. So there's a little bit here, so I'm just going to read it in Justin's words so I don't mess anything up. So this is what Justin sent me. It says, "Growing up, my parents would take us down to the Texas coast on a regular basis, spending summer days at South Padre and Mustang Island. When not at the coast, nice weekends were spent at state parks across Texas. My Caribbean soul was born after our first family trips to the tropics. We lost my dad far too early, and the words in migration seemed to speak to me much more after. Although my wife is my entire world, and I have not picked up and moved to the Keys yet, it says, keyword yet, it is truly a mystery why some people live like they do, and I figured it was time to have a little fun. I've danced the night away at the Tropicana in Havana, kissed the Blarney Stone, and hiked the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim. Driven the overseas highway twice, swam crystal blue waters on Caribbean islands, and spent countless nights under the West Texas stars. There's so much more out there to explore and enjoy. If I do live to be an old man, Martinique sure does sound nice. Yeah, I have that Caribbean soul I can barely control, and some Texas always in my heart." Thank you so much, Justin. That's so lovely. Migration is a really great song. And it really sounds that like it hit home for you. And I know that's kind of the point of why I've been wanting to do these Jimmy Buffett song stories is, you know, we're all fans of Jimmy's music for different reasons, but I really think that he just has so many songs that connect really deeply to people. And I'm really happy to be able to share your stories as to how and why different songs connect with you. So that's really lovely. Thank you so much, Justin, for sending that in. Anyone who's listening, if you have Jimmy Buffett song stories you'd like to be shared on the podcast, just send them to me. You can email me at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on social medias. It's at Blame Buffett Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can search for Blame It on Buffett Podcast. And yeah, I'd love to hear more, and I'll just keep on sharing them until I don't have any more to share. So yeah, that's this week's story. And then now I just want to get to the interview because, like I said, I think this is a really great cause. You can really get some awesome stuff. And it was such a pleasure to talk to Captain Vinny. I told him this after we stopped recording, but like, I live in Tucson, Arizona in the desert, and I haven't been anywhere in a long time, and I haven't been on a boat in what feels like forever. So I really appreciate him taking the time to talk to me about the different boats and different things, like ocean related things, because that's kind of, this podcast is, I'm hoping, an escape for the listeners, but also honestly, it's an escape for me, because I get to talk to really awesome people like Vinny, and hear about their fun lives and adventures. So yeah, let's get into that interview right now. All right. Welcome to this week's interview portion of Blame It on Buffett. This week, my guest is Captain Vinny LaSorsa, who is from Last Mango Boat Works, which is a really awesome nonprofit that started. It was started because of the boat, right? The Last Mango Boat.
That's correct. Yep.
So why don't you just tell the folks a little bit about like what Last Mango Boat Works is as a nonprofit situation?
All right. Well, first, thanks for having me, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to tell everybody about what we're doing.
Yeah.
This whole Last Mango Boat Works brand came about because both Jimmy and myself were constantly getting requests from people asking if they could buy Last Mango shirts. From, you know, the previous Last Mango 2 to now this Last Mango 3 that we've had. And Jimmy one day had an idea, and he said, you know, "I don't really need to make money selling my boat shirts." He says, "But what if we found a way to give money back to charities and support charities through selling the boat shirts?" He said, "Because it seems like a lot of people want them." And, you know, that's when the idea was born. And it took us a little bit to kind of just talk through how we would do it And if it seemed good, and then as the request kept pouring in, more and more requests, you know, through his social media and even a few people asking me through mine, we thought it'd be a good idea to start it. So Last Mango Boatworks as a brand is all profits will be donated to charity. We're kind of modeling it after like the Paul Newman brand, the Paul Newman salad dressings, where all the profits are going to go back to charities. And we're selling apparel, hats, shirts, some keychains. We're using, Jimmy's known for, he has a saying and a quote that he says it takes no more time to see the good side of life than it takes to see the bad. And we're using "see the good side" as part of that quote as our tagline, for the brand. So, you know, try to see the good and the good side and everything. So that's it in a nutshell of how this started.
That's awesome. I know, like Parrot Heads, Jimmy Buffett fans, the Parrot Head Club was started really with, the giving back idea in mind. So like, I know Jimmy wasn't huge on having a quote unquote fan club, but the fact that it was really more about like people getting together to raise money for charity, give back, that kind of thing. So that's really nice to see that being reflected even like in what Jimmy's continuing to do in his own life and in this brand. That's really nice, I guess, like as a fan to see like that we're about that, but also Jimmy is totally about that too. And I do love I can understand why people are like, we're clamoring to get these. It's like such a clean, like the logo is so nice. The color is like, that color is just like every person that likes the tropics, I don't think like would not want a shirt that is that like kind of like aqua seafoam green color. And that's the color of like the hulls of the boats too, right?
That's correct. Yep. All the boats are, it's actually exactly what you said. Seafoam green is on the paint chart of the paint that we use to paint the hulls with. It's called seafoam green.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought that just, might be it.
Yeah, it is. It is. So we've made that kind of the fleet color.
That's awesome.
And like I said, it matches the Caribbean water perfectly. The boat gets lost a lot of times when you're sitting in the water out there, the hull matches in with the water. So that's the majority of the apparel we're putting out has the seafoam green color in it some way, somehow. So,
yeah. And you did mention there's a lot of different, options in the shop. There's different styles of shirts. There's jewelry, which is cool, hats, tumblers, that kind of thing. There's even coffee I saw. I'm not a big coffee drinker, but my husband really likes coffee. So I was thinking about getting him some since I'm sure he would like it. How do you decide like kind of what products to put in the shop?
So we're running a lot of the Last Mango brand based on what people are asking for. We get a lot of messages with people saying, oh, it would be so neat if you came out with, if you came out with tumblers and cups. Oh, God, it would be so neat if you came out with a lot of people. We didn't have cotton t-shirts at the beginning. And so many people said, hey, I don't really love performance shirts. I like a cotton shirt. So we're like, oh, come out with some cotton shirts. The styles of hats, a lot of people have come forth asking for certain styles of hats. And we just said, there, we'll keep moving with, go in the direction of what people want. I think that's one of the nice things about when you stop worrying about profits and putting your own agenda first. And you're doing this basically. So we're giving people a way to buy into our vision of giving back. And if people want certain styles of apparel, whether it's hats or shirts, and you get multiple requests, you know, we buy a little bit at first to see if it works. And if it works, we're just going to keep it going. And then everybody gets to figure out a way to give back. And if it's by buying a shirt, you know, the money you're putting into the shirt is going back, then it just gives everybody a way to give back is basically the story. And we're following the lead of a lot of the fans of what they're asking for.
That's awesome. So if people have, I mean, obviously not that you can fulfill every request, but if people have things they would like to see, like should they leave comments on the Last Mango Boatworks Instagram, or like what's the best way to get suggestions out there if people have stuff?
I would say write a message to the Last Mango Facebook or Instagram. And like I said, like you just said too, we've had requests where we only had one or two requests on a certain thing, and I'm not sure if it validates coming out with a new product, but
right.
like certain things we've had like overwhelming requests. Like we've had a bunch of requests for a women's cotton V-neck. And we, we had it out at first and it didn't sell that well. And we're sold out of it right now. But like lately in the last 2 weeks, we've had a lot of people asking about it again. So we're going to bring that back. I'm trying to think what else we've had. Women's long sleeve performance, a lot more requests than I would have thought. And that is coming. We're also going to come out with more of the lower price point cotton shirts, you know, because performance shirts are kind of expensive. So we're coming out with more of the lower price point cotton shirts. And we're coming out with a few more hat options too, from things like, you know, it's funny to me, it's like so many things you don't think of. We had a lot of trucker hats with the mesh back. And so many guys were messaging us saying, hey, I'm bald. I can't wear a trucker hat because I'll get a tan line on top of my head. Funny things like that that don't think of. So now we have like full coverage hats and we're coming out with bucket hats and straw hats. So we have a lot of really neat things coming. And majority of what's going to come out is going to come out in the next 3 months before the holiday season, because we're kind of anticipating that there's going to be a lot of online shopping this holiday season due to coronavirus COVID.
For sure.
So we're going to try to give people good price point, good quality items that, you know, can be purchased for the holidays. And we got six different hats coming out and a whole new line of shirts called the Location Collection. And the Location Collection is going to be locations of where we go with the boats. And we're going to have a certain logo for each location. And we think that that is going to do really well.
Yeah, I mean, I could picture that because, you know, if you live in a certain place and it, or even if you like, if it's like, oh, Last Mango Key West or Last Mango, you know, wherever, I could see people definitely wanting to get like the specific location that resonates the most with them. That's a really great idea. I love the thing about the hats because my dad doesn't have a lot of hair. And so he would never wear like the trucker style hat, but he wears more of like, you know, like the dad style hat. This is a very good Christmas present ideas. This is very good. I'm glad you said that because he wears hats a lot and he loves boats and stuff. So I think that might be, don't worry. He doesn't listen to this podcast, so he won't. But I did love, I remember, I think there was a picture posted fairly recently of Jimmy fishing on one of the boats and he had like this huge sort of like straw, but kind of, I don't even know like what style of hat that is. It just has like a really, really wide brim. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need that hat because I get sunburned really easily. And I think you or someone on the account said like, oh yeah, we're going to be coming out with that style. Is that one that you're going to have?
Yes. Yes, that the straw hat's coming out next month in September, and actually it's September we're gonna do it's called Hat Month, and on the marketing side of it, every Friday we're gonna put out a new hat for the whole month of September. October 1st is gonna be a totally different product. It's gonna be like dock mats and koozies, and coasters, and then November 1st is gonna be this location collection that I was telling you about. And the reason we're doing this location collection November 1st is because we feel like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, through that whole stretch of holiday shopping, I think it's gonna give people a really good option of things to buy. There's gonna be 5 different locations we're coming out with. Sunshine State, Nantucket, Montauk, Bahamas, Key West, and Lighthouse Point. And Lighthouse Point is kind of like, it's our jumping off point. Hillsborough Inlet is our jumping off point a lot out of South Florida to where we moved to in the Caribbean. We do a lot of boat work at Merritt Boat Works, which is in Lighthouse Point. So those are the locations we're going to come out with. And each one of them has a really neat design, and each shirt will have its own matching hat. It's going to be like a patch hat on the, that's going to have its own patch. So,
yeah.
And then we have a matching gaiters that go with each location collection. And they're going to be, we have a Key West gator out there right now. It's just basically a chart, nautical chart of Key West that's sublimated on a gator, a sun mask. And we're going to have that for all the location collections of those specific areas. And we are super excited to come out with that for the holidays because the whole purpose of all of this is to give people a really good high quality. Like, we're trying to be a premium brand. Like, everything we're trying to put out is really good quality and only work with the best companies. Just because, you know, that's what we want to be associated with, on top of the fact that give people a really good product and feel good about putting money into giving money back to charity.
Yeah, that's awesome. The gators, especially right now, you know, like they're great for sun, like if you're on the boat or whatever, but also because of people having to wear masks in a lot of places, like those are pretty helpful for that too. So that's kind of like a double use product right now.
100%. We can't actually right now, we are having a really hard time keeping those in stock. We're going through like 150 a month or more of each style. They're just because of COVID and people needing to wear face masks. They're just going like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great because if you buy one of those now for wearing a face mask or whatever, you know, unlike sort of your more traditional style of face mask, once hopefully soon, whenever that is, that that we don't need to be wearing face masks as much. The gator style is still useful for a lot of other situations. So it's kind of, you know, you could buy it to wear now for COVID, and then you can still use it later on for other things. Whereas kind of your regular face mask, like you're probably not going to use that a lot after this situation. So like, that's a great reason for people to buy those right now and then still have, get a lot of use out of them down the line too.
That's correct. And I'll tell you, we had these sun masks out that had perforated holes for the mouth and nose, which are really great for when you're wearing them for sun protection.
Right.
But we took them off the website for right now and figure we'll put them back on once COVID and Corona is over, because we didn't want people to accidentally buy them.
Oh,
get
yeah.
them with the perforated holes and then realize, wow, this doesn't do a thing for, you know, any right. sort of, you know, COVID rules.
If they were trying to buy it for that reason, and then it's like, oh wait, this doesn't work. Well, that's very thoughtful for you to help the people out. Cause I'm sure I'm totally the kind of person that like wouldn't pay attention and I would just like buy it and then be like, oh wait, this isn't what
yeah, exactly.
not gonna work for that.
Well, that's one of the other beauties about not being for profit. You're not worried about, you know, chasing a dollar on everything. It's more about just doing what makes sense.
Right.
And what's good for the cause. So yeah, we are definitely trying to just stay focused on what's good for the cause.
Yeah. And I don't think we mentioned this yet, but there's actually two different causes, right? That the money from Last Mango goes to. Do you want to talk about the two different causes a little bit?
Yeah, so there's a foundation that Jimmy started called Singing for Change. And Singing for Change is a foundation where Jimmy puts a lot of money from his ticket sales and concert sales into. And Singing for Change disperses funds to other nonprofits, all sorts of nonprofits. On their website, you can learn a lot more about them and the other nonprofits they've donated to. But everything from like animal shelters to autistic kids taught how to surf to injured veteran relief, everything. So they take money in and then disperse it out to other nonprofits in the form of grants. And then the other nonprofit, it's called Freedom Fighter Outdoors, which is a nonprofit that we started in 2014. We'd been doing this since 2009, but we became our own nonprofit in 2014. And we take injured veterans out fishing, and we do a few big events a year. And those are the two charities that the money's going to go to.
Awesome. And how long? When did the Last Mango the brand start?
February of this year, February 2020.
So it was pretty, I thought it was pretty recent, but, and it was based on the boat. So I didn't realize this was not the first Last Mango boat, but is this one is kind of special because it's like a twin hull, or were they all like that?
No. So the one prior to this was a Rybovich, which is, it's a mono hull sport fish. It had inboard diesels. It was a walk around, Jimmy really likes walk around boats because if you're able to walk around, you can fish 360 degrees around the boat. And there's a lot of benefits to having a walk around style. You lose a little bit of interior space, but you gain a lot of fishing space and you gain a lot of mobility around the boat. Safe mobility. You know, you're not walking up on a raised deck.
Right.
So the Last Mango that we have now is a Freeman catamaran hull. Freeman's made in Charleston, South Carolina. And then we had Merritt Boatworks build the pilot house, the walk around house, because Freeman doesn't make a pilot house. They make center consoles. So we took a great riding hull, a great running hull, one of the best hulls that we've ever been on, and then made it into what we want, which was a walk around.
So it's a pretty unique boat then. There's not a lot. Cause if you had to work with two different companies teamed up to make it, that must mean there's not like a lot of other boats out there like that one.
No, that's correct. Yeah. It's a one of a kind. there's definitely a need for a boat like this. We've had so many people say, man, we wish there was something out there like this. So I could see it happening in the future. But for right now, it's one of a kind and it's the only one.
Yeah, that's really cool. And what's the, sorry, I hope you don't mind if I ask you a lot of boat questions. I like boats a lot.
What's the
benefit to having the twin hull? Like, why is that better for this situation than just the mono hull?
So I wouldn't tell you that every catamaran rides better than a mono hull, but well thought out, well designed catamarans, without a doubt, ride better than a mono hull. So Freeman Boatworks was made by a man named Billy Freeman. He was from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and he had seen the advantages of catamarans himself by fishing on them and owning them. And he decided to try to make one better than anything he'd been on. And it's one of those like American dream stories that he did. He succeeded and he made, a boat that he now has a 2.5 year wait on. You have to wait 2.5 years to have one made. Okay. And his company is growing. And it's the best riding catamaran that we have ever been on, hands down by far, which is why we chose the hull for the platform that, for the platform of putting a walk around house on it. And the benefits of a catamaran is that they're more efficient because there's about 30% less boat in the water. And in most sea conditions, when they raise up on the sponsons, basically the two hulls, when they raise up on the sponsons, if you're in a 2 to 3 foot chop, each sponson, each hull is sharper entry than one mono hull.
Oh,
so it cuts through the waves easier. And if you're in, say, a 2 to 3 foot or less, most of the time that chop will go right through the center tunnel and you don't even feel it. It's not until you get in bigger seas, maybe 4 or 5 footers, that you really the boat starts to move around a lot because the tunnel height gets maxed out and the waves coming through the tunnel will start to hit the bottom of the tunnel. And then yes, everything has its limitations. So, but in a, I would say any sort of fair seas, being fair seas, like anything less than 3 to 4 feet, there's tremendous advantages in speed and efficiency and ride. And we generally fish in pretty fair weather. We do go out when it's rough, yes, but for the most time we're pretty lucky. We can pick the days we want to fish.
Right. I was going to say you're probably not in super rough chop a lot because, if you're going fishing for fun, it's probably not as fun if you're going out on a super rough day. So it seems pretty well tailored. And you use it mostly for fishing, the boat?
Yep. It's just basically fishing. And we do other things with it. We'll run to different spots to maybe, go to lunch or eat dinner or something like that, or go to a surf break. But for the most part, the majority of it's fishing.
Awesome. That's so cool. And I wanted to ask you, on the Instagram, there was also a photo of a sailboat, which I had never really seen a sailboat like this before. It's very it starts obviously small at the front, like boats, and then it gets bigger. And where most sailboats would taper back off and get narrow again at the aft, this just is the widest at the very back of the boat. And I thought that was really interesting. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that boat, if there's benefits to that, because it seems pretty uncommon. I don't think I've really seen a sailboat like that before.
So that is the Drifter, and Jimmy designed the Drifter to do multi-purpose. That has a nice pilot house that you can sail the whole boat from the inside of the pilot house without going up on deck or getting wet. And it has that squared off transom, more like the sport fish style transom. And it has rod holders and you are able to fish off of it. It has twin motors, twin rudders. So I wouldn't call it a hybrid, but it can do many different things. You can fish off of it. It has two motors, two rudders, so it's very maneuverable, and it has a bow thruster, so it's very maneuverable. And if you're sailing in it, it's very comfortable because you can do everything from inside the pilot house. So it's another, Jimmy comes up with really interesting and good and functional ideas for boats. And this is just another one of the things that he dreamed up and the dream became a reality, and he designed it and went forward with it. And it has multi-use, like I was saying, like you can fish off it. The transom also drops down. And so if you anchor it up and you want to fish on it, and you anchored up and you wanted to fish on it, you can, you know, drop the transom down, or sorry, swim off it. You can drop the transom down and go swimming.
That's nice. It's always nice to have a boat where if you want to jump in the water, to swim or for shower or whatever, it's easy to get in and out. Does it sail pretty much like a regular shaped sailboat, or is there anything different about like the way that it sails?
No, sails pretty much the same. It really doesn't, you know, sail any different.
Right. Okay. I was just curious because I had never really seen a boat like that. I guess, clearly Jimmy over the course of his life has had a lot of experience with, boats and different kinds of boats and different kinds of activities that you do off of boats. So I guess it makes sense that, he, you know, has a really good idea of what he wants in a boat. And that's really cool to be able to kind of create your own, tailor your boat to exactly what you want out of it. How long have you been, like, let's just talk about you for a minute. Obviously you're a boat captain, in addition to being part of Last Mango. Like, how did you get into that? Like, how long have you been doing that?
So I've been with Jimmy for 15 years, almost 16, and I'm 38 years old now. I started out with him when I was young. I was hired by Jimmy's a fleet captain named Spider Andreessen. Mm-hmm. And I started out interviewing with Spider, and I did not think I got into boating through my dad. I guess we should start there. Like, I got into fishing and boating through
all
my dad. All the way back. I got into boating with my dad. I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay and grew up a little bit in North Carolina in the Outer Banks. My dad was a Secret Service agent, so that's why we lived in Annapolis and lived on the Chesapeake Bay, because he was working in D.C. And then we spent time in the summers going to the Outer Banks as much as we could. So that's where the water, fishing, boating came into play. My dad had a boat and liked boating. And whenever he had time off, that's pretty much what he would take me to do. And then as I got older, I was a fishing nut. So I would any excuse to go fishing, I would. And then I had, you know, captains ask me if I would want to mate for them. And it started out for free. And then once I started learning what I was doing, they started to pay me. And then, you know, and that was throughout end of high school and college. And then, I ended up getting, you know, working on a few other boats, getting my captain's license. And then I did a few interviews with Spider. And after the interviews, I realized that Spider and Jimmy, liked the fact that I was young when they hired me, because they could turn me into what they wanted versus me have bad habits already. So Right. It's pretty interesting the way timing worked out in my favor for that. Whereas in the interview process, I didn't think I had enough experience to take on that job, but Right. They were willing to take a chance on me and teach me. This way I would be exactly what they wanted, you know, me to grow into, you know, if as long as it worked out for them.
Right. They could train you for what they wanted in a captain versus some old salty dog who's like set in his captaining ways, kind of.
Yes, exactly. And it's funny. I learned that sometime after they hired me, which I thought was really funny. And then I thought, well, I got luckier than I thought, you know?
Yeah, that's great. And then you've just been doing it ever since then.
Yep. Been with him ever since. And he's given me a lot of opportunity to give back, you know, in certain ways. Like, he allows me to use the boat to take the injured veterans fishing. He allows, you know, even putting me, you know, somewhat in charge of this Last Mango project with the whole giving back for charity. He's given me some pretty unbelievable opportunities that just give you a reason to be proud of everything you're doing. So yeah. it's been a really good ride.
That's awesome. And do you have a particular kind of boat that you like to, like, do you have like a favorite that you're like, oh, we're going out on this boat today? Like, that's the best one. Or are you equal boat opportunist?
I am very partial to this 42 Last Mango, the 42 Freeman Hull that we did the pilot house with Merritts.
Yeah.
It's probably the best all around boat that I've been a part of. It does everything well, and it's very fast. So when you have speed to your advantage, it changes your whole playbook in a day of fishing. If you realize that, like if I get a call on the radio from a friend and he says, oh, I'm 40 miles away, but the tunas are everywhere right now. If it's 40 miles away, I can be there in 40 minutes. Whereas the boats we had prior would maybe go 25 to 30 miles an hour. So you're looking at an hour and a half to get to that same spot. And that might not sound like a tremendous difference, but it is, because fish can stop biting in a moment, you know?
Right.
So
yeah.
It's definitely changed the playbook. And it's also changed the way we fish, because like say if we have limited time in a day, but we know that there's the tide's going to be right at 2 PM, but we only have a few hours in the afternoon to go, we can go in and out and do it with the speed we have. So I enjoy that boat a lot. And there's a captain named Joey Mello that runs the Drifter. And Joey comes from a very decorated sailing background. He races, and so it's Spider's the fleet captain. Joey's taking care of the sailboats, and I take care of the fishing side of things. So there's a few of us that make the team work.
Oh my gosh, Joey Mello is the best sailing captain name for Jimmy Buffett's sailboat captain I've ever heard. Like Mello,
it almost sounds fake, right?
I know, it kind of does. Perfect though. Do you do different types of fishing off the boat?
Yeah, all kinds.
So it's really useful for any kind of fishing.
Yes. Yeah. In South Florida, it's very popular to live bait fish for sailfish. Mm-hmm. We do that a lot. In the Bahamas in the winter, it's very popular to high speed troll for wahoos. We do that. We snapper fish in the Bahamas for yellowtail or mutton snapper. We use the boat to get to remote destinations to go fly fishing. Up north, we go tuna fishing, and those are usually generally longer runs to get to the tuna grounds up in the Northeast. So the boat can do anything and has done everything on the East Coast so far there is to do.
Wow. And it's, apparently it's been to the Bahamas and different places. Do you, just you personally, do you have a favorite place that you've traveled or a favorite place to visit?
So, you know, people ask me that all the time. And I think that the two places that I love fishing the most are the Bahamas and out east of like the New England area, like east of Nantucket, east of Cape Cod. Those are my two favorite places that I've ever fished, period, like hands down. And I don't know if I can really tell you I like one more than the other, because I look forward to doing both equally. I really do. So I love them both for different reasons. There's when you fish out east of Nantucket or Cape Cod, there's usually hundreds of whales, and the tunas are mixed in with the whales, and it's an unbelievable show. And then when you go to the Bahamas, you get the Caribbean beauty, you know, clear, you know, gin clear water, beautiful colors, coral reefs. The fishing's really good. So those two places to me are both special places, and I'm very fortunate because I don't know if I would ever had the opportunity to see everything I've seen if I wasn't working for Jimmy.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, obviously he travels a lot and loves to travel, so that seems like a great opportunity to visit a lot of places. Is there anywhere, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be related to Jimmy and where he goes, but just, is there anywhere that you haven't been yet that you would really like to visit?
Oh man, there kind of is, but they're very remote places that, that I don't know if we'd ever get to, but you know, like there's the, you know, Azores, Madeira out in the middle of the Atlantic. There's places like that I would love to really fish one day, me personally.
Right. Yeah.
Those are places that I love to get to, like Galapagos. I've never been there on the Pacific side. I'd love to go there and do that. So those are the kind of places that are left for me on my bucket list, but, pretty much the whole Caribbean and the whole East Coast, I've been fortunate, even the Gulf Coast, I've been fortunate to have done already with Jimmy through his adventures.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always good to have bucket list places though. Still, I mean, the Galapagos would be amazing. And I definitely have done some fishing in my day. I live in the middle of the desert now. So clearly it's like not a thing that I really do on a regular basis, but just going, I just, you know, love to travel for other reasons, and the Galapagos would be really awesome. place to go. So yeah, so Jimmy, since you're obviously listening to this podcast, please take Vinny to the Galapagos. one of the questions that I ask my guests a lot is, just because a lot of my guests and listeners and stuff are, you know, parrot heads and like to have a good time. Do you have a favorite cocktail or alcoholic beverage? Or if maybe you don't drink alcohol, that's okay too. But this is just one of my regular questions that I ask people.
So I really don't drink much at all, to be honest with you. Like I drink
probably
a couple
good
drinks.
If you're driving a boat a lot, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, I really don't drink much at all. But I do, I mean, I do definitely socialize and have drinks here and there. My two favorite drinks are two very different kind of drinks. There's one that's called a Bushwhacker that I was turned on to in the Bahamas. And the other one's a Dark and Stormy. I think that's a more well-known rum drink. And then if I can't do something fancy like either of those, just a Captain and ginger ale is like my go-to if I want to have a drink. So a fan of
ginger then, because Dark and Stormies have ginger ale too, right?
They have ginger beer. And dark rum. Yep.
Yeah, I really love ginger flavored things, so I'm definitely on board with that.
Yes, Dark and Stormy, and then like the Bushwhacker I'm telling you about. That's almost like that's like a dessert. That's like an ice cream. You know, it's a frozen drink with like Coco Lopez and all that stuff in it. So it's thick. Chocolate? You know, I could tell you, give me one second. I have it written down in my phone because I really don't drink it very often, but I have friends who ask me.
I feel like I haven't had it in a long time and I can't remember if I'm mixing it up with a mudslide, because I think a mudslide does have chocolate
in it. Yeah. So a Bushwhacker has dark cream de cocoa. Mm. It has Bailey's, Kahlua, Malibu, or any coconut rum, and then a splash of Myers on top. Okay. And so it's, you know, it's a thick like dessert style drink. Yeah. And then, good. And then the Dark and Stormy is ginger beer and dark rum. And then if I can't get either of those, ginger ale and rum is my other go-to if I'm having a drink.
Yeah. That sounds great. I haven't been to Key West a lot, but whenever we go, we always go to the Chart Room and get our Dark and Stormies. That's like our late night, like when it's really late, it's like, okay, we got to head over to Chart Room, get our Dark and Stormy. That's like the drink that we drink at Chart Room for some reason.
It's a good drink though. That's like, there's a lot of people in the marine industry. That's their go-to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one for sure. Mm-hmm. Have you, I assume you've spent a lot of time in Key West or?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I know that's like one of Jimmy Buffett's hangouts, so.
Yeah, a lot.
Do you have a favorite place there to go?
I end up spending a lot of time in Margarita Bowl when I'm there, just because I know a lot of the people that work there.
Oh, cool, yeah.
But I'm trying to think, other than that, I got like a few little like hole-in-the-wall restaurants I like a lot. Like I said, I really don't drink that much. And if I was to have a drink, it's mostly like on the dock or, you know, on a friend's boat.
Like any places it doesn't have to be like a bar, but just in Key West, like favorite hangouts.
So there is our favorite, the hangouts. Like if we were going to go hang out, we go to like the typical spots, Sloppy Joe's, Captain Tony's and Margaritaville. That's like the three hangouts that we go to. There's a little hole in the wall restaurant called Sarah Beth's. That's really good. I can't remember the street it's on. I know how to get there, but I can't remember the street it's on, but it's called Sarah Beth's. That's a really good restaurant. The Bagatelle restaurant on Duval. That's another good restaurant. Things to do like tourist stuff. Cause I have kids. So, there's a butterfly atrium down near the southernmost point. That is like a lot of people don't like when we have, friends who have families that go down to Key West, we recommend they go there. And everybody who goes there says, wow, we never knew that even existed down there. What a cool little place that is. You know, obviously if you're going down there, check out the Hemingway House. That's another cool spot. That's a cool tour with all the six-toed cats.
Yeah.
Trying to think. That's pretty much.
The Hemingway House is one of my favorite things to do there. It's just like so relaxing. I still haven't been to the butterfly. That's the Audubon, right? part of the Audubon place. So I still haven't been there. So that's definitely, it was already, but it definitely, especially now that you said that, is going to be on my list of places to visit for next time. As I usually go for Meeting of the Minds, which is like the big Parrothead event that happens down there. And there's a lot going on. So you kind of have to make time, 'cause there's a lot of music. It's like a really music based event. So you kind of have to make time if you want to do anything that's not going to see musicians play. But it gets a little hectic. So I really like to have those like more peaceful, like that's why, like, I really love the Hemingway House. It's just like, you can go there and it's just pretty quiet and relaxing. And so I think the Butterfly Atrium probably would be kind of a similar, like, not as crowded and just a kind of a nice little quiet moment amongst the many hours of like listening to music and all of that more hectic fun, I guess. So, yeah. So that's great to know about. I'll definitely have to check that out. I haven't really been up to the Northeast as much. I'm from Oregon, so I'm from like the opposite side of the country. But do you have any recommendations for up in that area?
So I could tell you that in Nantucket. Nantucket is one of my favorite places that I've been on a Jimmy adventure. Ooh. It's a cool old historic harbor town where if you came in by boat, you can walk everywhere without renting a car or even getting a bike, because when you dock down at the Nantucket Boat Basin, you can literally walk through town from the boat basin. The whole town is centered around the harbor. So that's one of the neat things about it. And there's a bunch of great places there. There's a restaurant that we love called Slip 14, and it's owned by a friend of ours named Jonas Baker. And Jonas ends up fishing with us a lot. He just fished with us a couple of days ago out of Nantucket. But he's become a great friend, and, his wife's the harbor master. So it's a funny, like, small town. His father-in-law, his wife's father, was the commanding officer of the Coast Guard out of Nantucket, like rich family, deep roots in Nantucket. And Slip 14 is one of the neatest places, I think, in Nantucket, and really good food. And it's right down there in the harbor. That's one place. If somebody ever went to Nantucket, it's the first place I'd recommend. But Nantucket's one of those places that I feel like everybody should try to see at some point. Whether if you just take the ferry over from the day from Cape Cod or not, it's just worth seeing once. Martha's Vineyard is another beautiful spot that we love going to. And Menemsha on the west side of the Martha's Vineyard is one of those places that was lost in time that we go to. And we love that spot. There's a little restaurant called The Galley that's like a walk-up takeout, and you can sit on picnic tables at the harbor and eat. And it doesn't sound like much, but it's one of those places that's when you go there, that's all you want to go do.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to go. Like I said, I think I went on a, you know, in eighth grade, we did like our eighth grade trip was like to New York and Washington, D.C. or whatever. That's like the only time I've been to the Northeast at all. But my husband is a brewer, and there's a lot of breweries up in that area that he really wants to visit. So I think someday we'll probably plan a trip up there, and I mean, I like beer too, so like that works out. But also I'll be like, okay, well, now we have to go to these places as well.
The Cisco Brewery on Nantucket is one of the neatest breweries we've been to. It's a brewery that's centered around a center courtyard, and they have live music, and they have everything from food trucks to pizza oven to, there's a food truck that sells like raw shellfish, clams, oysters. It's a neat little spot.
Awesome. All right. Well, someday I'll have to remember to listen back to this episode someday when we plan that trip, so that I'll remember where to go. I wanted to, on this, you were just on a fishing trip, and I noticed on your Instagram there were some videos of sharks, and I know it was Shark Week, but I just love sharks all the time. And I wanted to ask you about, do you often see sharks, or is that more of a rare thing when you go out?
So we see sharks all the time, and historically we've seen them all the time. But I will tell you, I could tell you something interesting. Like, if you're into sharks and you like Shark Week, or anybody listening, if they're into like that marine biology, and
I definitely
a lot of times what fishermen are actually seeing sometimes differs from what the the government rules and regulations or what the government sometimes says. And I hate to say that, but it's just very true. Like, I've seen the government say that certain species are endangered when I could tell you 100% that I know they're not. And I've seen other species that I know are in trouble and the government says they're not. So the one good thing about sharks, though, is I think everybody's on board lately knowing that there was an issue, that shark numbers were declining. And now sharks have rebounded heavily. Almost to the point where I'm wondering, like, there's some shark species that are so abundant, it's actually hard to fish for certain species. Like, say, for example, in South Florida, we're losing a lot of our kingfish and mahi and sailfish to bull sharks because there's so many than there used to be. So there has to be a fine balance, and I'm interested to see where this goes in the next few years on certain shark species that seem to be slightly overabundant. And then there's certain ones that definitely need to still come back. But like in my life, I had never seen a great white shark until 5 years ago. And now for the last 5 years, I've seen at least three every summer. So that tells you that they are definitely coming back because I never saw one before. Now in the last 5 years, I've seen at least three every summer. Like this summer, I've seen two already. We actually released one that we were tuna fishing. We caught a little one, which is a great sign. Released them perfectly healthy, but it was like
shark.
3 or 4 feet long, little great white. So it tells you the health of the, you know, of the great white.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, fishery in the Northeast is that if you're catching little ones, that means the big ones are doing their job, you know. So that's a good sign. But yeah, lately we've been seeing a lot more of certain species and more sharks in general than we had seen in the past. But if there's a lot of sharks in an area, like for example, like the Instagram stories that we posted with those sharks when we were trying to catch live bait because we use live mackerel to catch the giant tuna fish. So we catch the live mackerel, we put them in a live well, and then we use them to catch giant tunas. There was a lot of those little, they're called, people up here call them Boston mackerel. In Florida, they call them tinker mackerel, but they're the same mackerel species. The sharks were obviously feeding, and there was minke whales also feeding on the same amount of mackerel. That's a great sign because now there's a whole ecosystem going on right there. So yes, we have been seeing more sharks than usual. And that's a great thing. And it creates a well-rounded day on the water because we fished for a few hours the other day, we caught our live bait. We saw a couple really, you know, we saw a couple of neat things going on with the sharks trying to steal the mackerel off our bait rigs. And then we went out and caught a couple of tunas and came in. So all in all, it was a great day and it shows you the health of the fishery. And the giant tuna bluefin fishery, the last couple summers has been really good and better than ever. And to me, that's a great sign too. We've been releasing a lot of the giant tunas we've been catching. Actually, I should say this summer, we've released every giant tuna we've caught. Mostly because I don't know what we would do with all of it. You know, with COVID and coronavirus, there's not a lot of big dinner parties, you know?
Don't have a lot of people to feed. So you don't need to get fish.
Yeah. So we've been catching and releasing just for fun. But that being said, too, there's been a lot of them around. So that's a great thing because I know over the years, there's been a lot of concern that the stock was declining heavily. But the last two or three summers, it's pretty evident that the stock is doing well because this year is better than last year. So that's a great sign.
Yeah, that's really awesome to hear. I do think there has been a push. Even just like in the last couple of years, like you see a lot more brands that give a percentage of, you know, their sales to ocean conservation or I just feel like you see people talking about it a lot more, even just in the last few years. And I actually, so I am a fan of sharks and a fan of ocean conservation. I hadn't really watched Shark Week much before this year. It was just like this last week or whatever. And my husband was watching it some, so I ended up watching a decent amount. And I feel like there has, especially in the past, been, you know, kind of a misconception about sharks that like they're all bad and like even great whites, you know, like will just automatically murder you. And mm-hmm. So I kind of felt like, oh, you know, Shark Week's just like plays up the I don't know, like plays that up for drama. But like, I also just had like never given it a chance. So it was good that I watched some of it, because there was a lot of the programming was like, you know, scientists and ocean conservationists that were out there studying the shark. So it wasn't just like, oh, they're going to eat you or whatever. Mm-hmm. But long story short, one of the things was about the sharks around the 7 Mile Bridge, and they did some dives and tagged some sharks there. And I never realized there were like so many sharks like right up in that area. It's really cool to see, you know, people just they're just like out on a boat, like right by the 7 Mile Bridge, and there's just, you know, 4 or 5 sharks just hanging out there. So like you said, I feel like that really bodes well for the species and having, you know, a solid population in certain areas. So that's really, really nice to hear from someone that's actually out there a lot of the time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every shark species that we have, that we encounter or that we run into, is definitely seems to be healthier than ever. There's a couple that, I mean, I could tell you, like, for example, like I don't see a whole lot of evidence that the hammerhead population is doing any better than it was, because I don't see any more of them. But there's certain species, like I was saying, like bull sharks in South Florida, they are tremendously almost overabundant right now. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, because there was a commercial fishery that was catching a lot of bull sharks in South Florida, and that ended years ago. So they've definitely rebounded. I'm interested to see how they're going to balance that. But the great white population is definitely coming back. And you know, they're feeding on a lot of the seals up here in the Northeast, a lot of the fields that sit in Cape Cod and Maine and Nantucket. That's pretty much what the bigger great whites are going for. And then all the little ones are still fish eaters, and they're going after the abundant squid and mackerel, you know, populations in stock that's up here. So yeah, in general, it's really a good sign. It's a sign of a good, healthy ecosystem.
Yeah, that's great. Do you dive at all, or are you more of an above the water kind of person?
I do both a lot. I don't dive up here in the Northeast very often at all. I really don't go in the water much unless it's like surfing or something like that at the beach. Right. But in the Bahamas, do a lot of diving. South Where Florida, a little bit.
Things better.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, warm water when you can see things nice and clear.
Yeah. I really love diving, but I'm definitely like a fair weather diver. Like, I don't really have an urge to go diving in like super cold, dark water where you can't see a lot of fish and things. Have you ever seen sharks when you were diving before?
Yeah, all the time in the Bahamas, especially in some of the more remote out island places. They are just with you the whole time. And the only time that they ever are interested in what I'm doing is if I have a fish on me, like if we were spearfishing and I'm actually holding a fish. Yeah.
Thank you for catching dinner for us.
Exactly. They want to take it from me 100%. But if I'm just swimming, snorkeling, and I don't have a fish on me, they're not, I've never had any sort of sketchy incident where they approached me for no reason.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. The only sharks I've seen while diving were like white tip reef sharks, just like little ones, you know? Mm-hmm. But I would love someday to do, I know they have like shark dive specific, you know, programs and dives that you can do specifically to dive with different kinds of sharks. I'd really love to do that sometime. So that's kind of like on my bucket list.
They do that out of Bimini in the Bahamas and Nassau Stewart Coves. They have a shark dive. That's one of the best shark dives that I did it 10 or 12 years ago. But that's one of the best ones. It's in 30, maybe 40 feet of water, crystal clear. And you can all just go to the bottom and sit in a circle around, you know, the dive master who brings down some chum and he kind of like, you know, or chunks of fish and lets the kind of feeds the sharks, and you all watch. And as they come in through the circle, they kind of brush by right by you, going to the guy in the middle, feeding them. That's a neat experience. And they're mostly just Caribbean reef sharks. I've heard, you know, I've had other people tell me, oh, you know, they had a bull shark or a tiger shark or a hammerhead come in. But for the most part, it's just Caribbean reef sharks. But they're all healthy. They're all, they're 4 to 8 foot sharks. So they're real sharks.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Well, I will definitely put that on my list of things to do. I have been to the Bahamas once, but it was quite a while ago. So I'd love to, there's a bunch of things that are actually on my bucket list that are in that area. So I'd love to get back down there sometime. Well, thanks so much for being here. I don't want to keep you too long, but I love that you came on, and I really love the Last Mango Boatworks project. The brand is so cool, and there's so many things on there already, so many products, and it sounds like there's going to be a lot of really awesome new stuff going up as well. So I hope anyone listening to this will be checking that out. I haven't actually bought anything yet because I have been in my house in the middle of the desert, basically have no need for anything right now. But I definitely am going to have my eye on one of those big straw hats when those come out, and probably get a couple other things down the line. So it's really nice to be able to buy something and just know that you're getting an awesome product, and the money that you're spending is just going to help people. Like I said, as a parrot head, that's a big part of what we do with the club is raise money for charity. So I always love it when brands even give, a portion of their proceeds to some kind of charity, and Last Mango being, a brand that's basically the whole point, is really awesome project. So thanks so much for doing that. I mean, for wanting to start that and kind of caretake it, I guess.
Oh yeah. No, it's awesome. It's awesome for me to be a part of, and I'm very proud of it. And I appreciate that Jimmy allowed me to kind of spearhead it and be a, it was his idea that he kind of let me run with. So, that's the one thing I will say about him that I think that fans would appreciate is that he's one of the kindest, most giving people, which is one of the biggest reasons why I've been with him so long, because he makes it easy to want to work for him. So I think a lot of fans would like to hear that and know that from somebody who would know firsthand. But I appreciate what you said about Last Mango, and thanks for bringing it to people's attention. And I do hope that if people are interested in buying anything on it, that they do feel good about what they're buying, because it's just an easy way to give back.
Yeah, that's so great. And if people want to, do you want to tell them the website, tell them where they can find you on social media?
So lastmangoboatworks.com is the website. The social media handles for Instagram are Last Mango Boatworks, and for Facebook it's Last Mango Boatworks. So they're all easy to find, and we're going to be adding products throughout the year, and then next year we're going to do a spring and a fall line. So I think it'll be interesting. If people want to sign up for the email list, they can sign up for the email list to be notified when sales or new products are coming out. So we appreciate all the support.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on here and talk about it. I hope that this will get the word out to at least some people that didn't really know about it before. And hopefully that will help you guys, help the cause, just spread the word. And I hope that anybody listening to this, go check it out and share it with other people. If you have friends that you think would be interested, let them know, or, like Vinny said, Christmas is coming up a lot more quickly. I mean, it's almost September practically at this point. I don't even know what's happening in the world right now. Things are just going by at such a weird pace because of COVID and everything. But Christmas is coming, so buy presents for people from Last Mango. Share, spread the word. We want to get it out there because it's such a good cause, and the products are just cool. And why wouldn't you want to they look rad and they're useful, and it's just a great thing. So thanks, Vinny, so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Thanks, Aaliyah.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks again so much to Captain Vinny. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to be on here and share all about Last Mango and about all your adventures on the water. It was fun to get to talk about sharks a little bit. I know, I think that's a thing that's close to a lot of Buffett fans' heart. I mean, obviously fins, but also sharks are just kind of a major, ocean icon. And I think a lot of parrot heads are fans for sure. I know my local parrot head club is called the Desert Sharks. So we definitely love sharks out here, even where there is no ocean. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Vinny. And everyone listening, please go and check out Vinny's, or I guess the Last Mango Boatworks website and check out his social media, their social media, follow them. And please just know that when you buy cool stuff from them, that like that money is going to a great cause. And like I said in the interview, I think that's a big part of what being a parrot head is wanting to give back. So hopefully this interview gave you a new thing to help give back to that maybe you didn't know about before. And like I said in the interview, please share with people, you know, who might be interested, or, you know, buy them gifts. There's such a wide range of stuff in the shop, and it sounds like there's going to be even more stuff coming up. So just go on and check it out. I think I'm kind of waiting for the hats, but I think I will definitely be buying several hats. So there's a little something for everyone, I think. So thanks again, Vinny, for being a guest. You're so awesome. I hope that this can help get the word out there a little bit for Last Mango. It's a really great cause. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Once again, if you'd like to contact me, let me know what you think, how the podcast is going, send me your stories, really anything. You can email me at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com. Or follow me on social media. It's at Blame Buffett Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And also Facebook, or you can just search Blame It on Buffett podcast on Facebook. The podcasts are also going up on YouTube now, so you can find them there if you'd like to listen like easily while you're on your computer, or it's really easy to leave comments on YouTube, which is nice. So feel free to subscribe. That would really help me out a lot. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else that has review system, go ahead and leave a review if you're enjoying it. I really love to hear your feedback, and having those reviews on there helps make the podcast more visible, which will then in turn help get the word out about cool projects like Last Mango Boatworks. So yes, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear your feedback. And until next time, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen out there.
Blame it on Buffett. He was my hero from way in the past. And I sang his songs and had island dreams before I ever read the main up a mast. Blame it on Buffett. We took the road less traveled upon, and though he beat me there, well, I'm enjoying the journey.